Weekend Breakfast on 702.
For the curious.
So as I said, Tim Neary, nature conservationist, joining us now. And Tim, not a lot of fanfare around Earth Hour this year. A lot of South Africans with their second day in lockdown. I'm not too sure many observed it.
Yeah, morning, Nicholas. Now, you know, I think that most of these things, these specialist days, etc., have run their course. And it's almost like somebody's flogging them and prodding them along and hoping that somebody's going to get involved. And really, Earth Hour was great at the beginning, where it tried to get people to understand the interlinks, and so you could see the lights going on and off across the planet and what have you. But I think we've all also grown a lot more from then. I think we've also got a better understanding about the planet, a better understanding about our needs, and really a better understanding about what's got to be done or should be done, and the reality of can it be done. You know, all that starts to come into play. And no, I didn't turn my lights off last night, but then most nights I sit on my patio with a candle burning and a peaceful whiskey anyway, you know, sort of listening to the sounds of the night, because it's a very nice time just to sort of chill out and relax back. But I don't do it because it's Earth Hour. I do it because I want to and I enjoy it. And, you know, I think that's it. I think we've really got to the point of being over most of these things, be they Elephant World, Elephant Day, or whatever. You know, they've been flogged a little bit too much now.
Perhaps the focus has just changed a little bit now. And I suppose in this day and age, we need to point to the fact that there's people like Greta Thunberg leading the fight for a better environment with all of her fans and her foes. But with the coronavirus pandemic really hitting the globe in so many different ways, one aspect that you need to focus on is that the environment on a lot of levels is regenerating itself. I don't know if that's the correct word, but the amount of pollution that the Earth is used to withstanding has dropped significantly in the first couple of months of the year.
Yeah, I think it has, you know, and we can just touch on young Greta, etc. She's not saying anything that's new. And the always that worries me about people like that is I'm yet to see what they're doing that's changed. You know, it's great going along and being a mouthpiece and standing there and in front of somebody with your placard. But what difference are you making? And, I always go back to Severin Suzuki. Various people have done this. And the sad thing I find that invariably it's some young lass that's danced out on these occasions. You know, and maybe we should be having a couple of wise old owls coming out and talking about the change in the planet in their life, because that's also one of the differences, you know. If we are going to look at that difference, Greta hasn't seen much change. I'm in my mid-60s, as you know, and if I look at that, I've seen a dramatic change in the amount of fish that were available to be taken out of the sea, the pollution levels of rivers, etc. And, you know, maybe you want some of that sort of older, not wisdom, but older experiences, the real life experiences to come out, not the life experiences that we think. But, yeah, you know, I think there is a certain amount of regeneration. I wouldn't put it too much at this point all on the coronavirus. I think a lot of it, unfortunately, is a downturn in world economy and a change in world economy. I think that also affects it quite dramatically, because so much of the pollution, we look at the factories, they push out a certain amount, particularly air pollution. Water pollution is more around our human management, the way that we manage things. Johannesburg is a really typical way of how not to manage water. If you think of what we put down our drains, you know, because we are such a little hilly town, everything goes into the rivers. The rivers then go into the major rivers, which go down, and we share what we do in Joburg. We share with Mozambique, for example. And that becomes an issue. We don't look at the source of things. We don't look at keeping our streets clean. We don't look at managing our sewage systems correctly so that they don't pollute our waterways. So all of that is that comes on to another end. But we've also got a very, I think, not a fear isn't the right word, but because so many of these pandemics across the world and have been since the eons of time, they are invariably a zoonotic disease. And that is one of the concerns that suddenly, you know, great, we're saying that pangolins could be one of the starters of this coronavirus. But of course now, you know, that'll stop the poaching of pangolins. Or does it turn around into the other way where people suddenly decide, wipe out pangolins because they're the cause of our problems? You know, you've got that double-edged sword that you've always got to worry about with it. But zoonotic diseases have always been around, and I think they always will be.
We're talking to Tim Neary, nature conservationist on Weekend Breakfast. Niklas Bauer keeping you company until 10 a.m. Got any questions about how to make your home a bit more green during lockdown? Give us a call now, 011-883-0702. And we're talking about nature regeneration. I mean, I know I was one of those people that was absolutely spellbound with that visual that came out of Venice of apparently a dolphin in the canals. And yeah, I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. But you can't argue with the fact that there is a regeneration of biodiversity of sorts in places. You know, let's use Venice as the example. You now see fish at the bottom of the canals. You see swans returning to Venice after very many years. And from that point of view, I suppose it will offer us a chance to try and reflect on how our own actions affect the biodiversity around us.
Yeah, very much so. I think if you want to look at regeneration, mostly the best example is Chernobyl, where deer, wolves, etc., have and trees, what have you, have all gone back into that area, and they've just merrily grown, and everybody's reinvaded, for want of a better word, the space. But yeah, it is a very interesting one as to how do you start to measure it. And You measure it so often on bugs and beetles, and I think that's one of the things that we don't realize is the importance of insects in the environment. If you look at the Kruger National Park, for example, the biomass, the weight of the insects in the Kruger National Park is greater than the total biomass or the total weight of the number of elephants in the park. And that's one of the issues that we also have around us, is that we so want this clinically clean garden that we put so many pesticides and what have you, and then we start to say we don't have birds in the garden, we don't have butterflies in the garden, there are no insects working and pollinating our plants, and then we, of course, start to get a lot of our hybrids in which have no pollen in them. And that again starts to mess a little bit with nature. But nature's got a wonderful way of returning. And wetlands are another way which we can show just how easily nature can regenerate itself. Up in KwaZulu-Natal on the sapi plantations is Mavoya Wetland. And Mavoya Wetland was drained by the sugar industry. Sappi bought the property. They no longer needed the one section. It wasn't ideal for trees. And they also took a look and thought, hang on a minute, let's regenerate this wetland and see what happens. Today, that wetland has got hippos, crocodiles, fish, birds, etc., all in it. Not one of them has ever been reintroduced. And they've all migrated their way and settled back in the wetland. And the wetland is back doing exactly what it should be doing, cleansing the water, slowing the water down, reducing the erosion in the area. So, it takes very little forethought for nature to return itself and settle itself back down very nicely.
I love that you touched on birds a little bit earlier on. Let's talk about feeding our garden birds and trying to bring more bird life into our green spaces during this lockdown. And of course, let's not focus solely on people that have gardens with grass and trees and that type of thing. Because you can, I know, as a resident of an apartment block, you can entice birds onto your balcony.
Yeah, we spoke about this once before, and I got some lovely comments from listeners who have actually got garden birds nesting on their balconies, and not just feral pigeons. They've got little doves and all sorts of things that have come along, and that's, I think, what it is. You start to think about gardens only in our big areas. Think about Europe, where everybody has got potted gardens that they have on their balconies. And that you then can put a little bird feeder down. It doesn't have to be a hanging fancy bird feeder, just a little bit of seed in a dish will work, a little bit of seed in the bottom end of a tin. The birds will start to come in. Add a little bit of water to it, and people will say, well, we don't have a big bird bath. You just need one of those nice little enamel bowls, sort of the overgrown soup bowl type thing, and put that down, enamel so that it won't break, obviously. But any basin, any bowl with a bit of water in it will do. And instantly, or not instantly, over a bit of time, the birds will start to come in. And just watch what comes onto your balcony. And they get very friendly. I mean, they get quite relaxed. They really do tame down. I had somebody telling me all about an owl as well. So I think they're known as the balcony owls. And they moved onto a balcony and they've raised chicks there. So yeah, it doesn't take a lot. And then don't moan though when they suddenly start nesting on the back of your balcony or what have you. They're just looking for a nice, warm, comfortable, dry spot to bring the kids up.
Another example of how we really can marvel in the diversity of our bird life here in Johannesburg. I mean, just now into day three, I noticed at least three new species of birds that I hadn't seen in the CBD before, a hardy-dar being one of them. I didn't see a hardy-dar come even that close. They normally like nice, wide, open lawns to feed in bugs and stuff like that. But also even a Cape Crow I noticed from my balcony yesterday.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see just how you will open your eyes. And I think that's one of the things now where people are going to be sitting in their gardens. They're going to be sitting looking at their plants and wondering what we should be planting where and why. And it's bringing in those birds. It's having a look to see what is going to where. So the little sunbirds, have a look and see what plants they're going to. In your centre of Joburg, I'm pretty sure if you start to open your eyes, you're going to find all sorts of thrushes and all sorts of other little birds that are in the area as well, having a wonderful time. And, again, people will say, well, what do we bring out to butterflies? What do we bring out for bees? Just go and have a look in your garden and watch what the various creatures are going to. And that's a great indicator. And I was in a nursery a little while ago, and yes, we can't go to our nurseries now, but I was in a little nursery, and we will be able to again. And there, for example, you could see what plants the bees and all were going to, and that's what the people were buying. And it doesn't take a lot, and it's actually quite a lot of fun as well. And on that bee thing, if you'll see there are bees busy working at the moment. March is an area where bees do tend to, we change seasons, they do tend to start moving about a little bit. So if you've got a couple of marbles or small rocks or whatever, little stones, put them in the base of a soup bowl and then fill that with water so the bees have actually got rocks to stand onto. And then you can find that your bees won't cluster as much, try and sort of get to your cool drink or whatever you're having. They'll enjoy that water and they won't end up drowning. So it's kind of an easy thing to do for them.
Tim Neary talking to us about how to appreciate our wildlife, bird life, our biodiversity during the lockdown in our garden or even on our balcony. You spoke about a bird feeder even just being a saucer with some bird seed in there, but you also have a special recipe for seed bells.
Yeah, there's a very nice recipe which you can look up in the internet, and people are saying, how do you glue the seed together for seed bells? And I'm pretty sure that we can pick up fowl food, etc. during the lockdown. It is an essential food if you've got chickens. So take some of that, and you can actually get a little bit of gelatine. Mix it all up. You can add a little bit of honey if you'd like to into the mix. That will also just give it that little bit of sweetness to bring it in. And, people say, what do we push it into? Well, take a piece of string, find a flower pot or even a bowl of some description in your kitchen, and mix this whole little lot up. Put it into there, let it set, and then you can hang it up into your garden, and it's quite easy to do. Remember, if possible, when we are feeding these birds, though, try and use natural foods wherever possible. And if you look at something like a bun, that's the modern bun where it lasts seemingly for 6 weeks and never grows any mold, don't feed your birds that, because that invariably messes with their stomachs. Birds have got quite susceptible digestive systems to being upset. So we want to give them something that's really good. And we were talking earlier about the baker. You were making a comment from the baker. Very often the old bakery has got what I call the old-fashioned moldy bakery bread. Breads that they are making that actually do get mold after a couple of days. That you can always crumble up a little bit and feed out to your birds, because it's a lot more natural. And that'll also work. And then, of course, you can also, with those seed bells we were talking about, if you've got a pine cone in your garden, you can take that bird mix and you can actually take a pine cone and then pack that seed all around the pine cone. And again, it's something really great, easy to hang up in your tree, and it's also something that the birds can go along and back and hang on to it and chomp away happily. Water is tremendously important, though, Nick. And make sure that you do clean your bird bath. Just like we get diseases from birds, or from dirty things, so do birds from dirty water. and particularly things like bird flu, etc. It's one of the ways that birds actually transmit the bird flu. And it's also, sadly, it's one of the places you usually find the dead birds if you've got a bird flu issue. And we had a bird flu issue in Joburg last year, which seemed to have lifted itself up slightly. But yeah, we do it. Well, you know, it's something that we can get around, but just make sure that the birds really enjoy that clean water. And then the other thing that you must make sure with these birds that they're doing, don't overfeed them, because like you and I aren't getting that much exercise during the lockdown, birds get lazy and they don't go far from the food bowl, and then they get a fat buildup, etc. Also, not healthy to have over fat birds. So rather feed them sort of two or three times or once a week. And when they've eaten the food, they must buzz off and find something else in the garden to eat.
Tim Neary, if you've got a chat, if you've got a question for him, our nature conservationist, we're having chat about what you can do in your garden to try and attract birds. We've got Malcolm in Ferndale. Malcolm?
You, gentlemen. Morning, Malcolm.
How's it, Malcolm?
Oh, long time no speak. Nevertheless, with regards to feeding the birds, I do feed the birds. I buy seed, etc., etc. But the other thing I've done in my garden to feed the birds is I have planted a bush called Cotoneaster. And that Cotoneaster has the most beautiful flowers initially, and that brings in the bees and the butterflies, and then it develops a berry. And that berry eventually turns red. And I have wild parrots here in Ferndale that are probably birds that have escaped. And they come through, oh, maybe half a dozen at a time, like a small flock. And they eat the red berries. And that is one of the great ways of feeding the birds without having to give them artificial seed and bread and all that sort of thing. The other thing I've noticed is that by feeding the birds, When the non-normal birds see the birds on my lawn, they come through and they feed. They enjoy the fellow feeding with the normal birds. And that is, I have hornbills in my garden occasionally.
Wow. So hornbills, Malcolm? I mean, Tim, is that quite common, hornbills in South Africa? In South Africa, but in Joburg, sorry.
Yeah, what's happened is that, as Malcolm will also see, as our area has turned more into the bushveld, so we very treed, and as it's turned more into the bushveld, and the bushveld has come down, and with a lot of bush has grown also between sort of Bella Bella and coming down towards us, so they've just naturally migrated down. And we've actually got hornbills, as Malcolm will know as well, hornbills breeding in Johannesburg. So, yeah, you know, we see a change of this all of the time. And you've got to remember that birds that we saw maybe in our garden 20 years ago aren't here now. I think I saw the first red bishop in my garden this year. And that was because of a Working for Water project where they cleaned out all the river reed and what have you, which the birds were nesting in. Of course, they just buzzed off to go and nest somewhere else. And we lost them, but they're coming back slowly. So, yeah, it's interesting to see the continual changes. The raptors in Joburg are actually starting to come in now, crested eagles, etc. And yeah, people are going, wow, you know, we've got one of those in our garden. Better hide the cat.
Oh, man, that's some domestic warfare between your domestic animals and the bird life and wildlife in Johannesburg. So, unfortunately, we won't necessarily be able to get to a bookshop during lockdown. I know that you've pointed to a couple of books that you might want to keep in mind during the lockdown period. But where can we maybe find online some things to access in order to make our garden a little bit more friendly to birds, maybe enrich our own biodiversity in our backyard?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of information that is online. Book-wise, the two books that I just looked at quickly were Wildlife of Namibia, a photographic guide, which is a really nice book as well. And Namibia, I think, somewhere that we go to fairly often. Obviously, we share a lot of stuff. They don't have maybe as much in some of the areas as we do. They don't have but they've got a different variety, a really nice variety of birds and what have you. And it's just a nice little book that you can pick up in the bookstores. And then the other one that is what I really liked was Wildflowers of the Cape Peninsula. And there, of course, it gives you a lot of information where you can find them, alternative areas you can find them. And I think, you know, we talk about so much about being indigenous gardening. Don't get too xenophobic about indigenous gardening, as far as I'm concerned. Bring stuff into your garden that the bees enjoy. We've got very few plants that are invasive when it comes to our gardens. And boy, make no error, some of our indigenous stuff can be pretty invasive as well. You know, once it gets a hold into your garden, it can grow like anything. But it's to watch, it's to watch and enjoy your garden. And I think that's the most important item. Does your garden give you enjoyment? Does it bring in the birds and the bees and the butterflies? I had a friend of mine phone me. They're busy rebuilding a garden. They got their first bee into their garden, and it was great excitement. Something simple like a little bee, and that can cause a great amount of fun for you.
Tim, I wish we could speak a little bit longer, but unfortunately, the news gods are reigning supreme now as we stop for the news. We'll catch you same time, same place next week on Weekend Breakfast.
We shall do. We shall have more fun next week. We're looking to try and keep it a little light during these times.
Tim Neary, nature conservationist, talking to us about the importance of connecting with nature.